Okay. Right here. So we're just going to pretend like this is the beginning.
I know, right? I'll be right there. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Good.
Won't you stand up with me? We're going to start right now. Thanks for being here on time. You know, we start out our service with a time where we worship God, we sing praise to Him. The Bible says here in Psalm 47 in verse number 1, it says, "Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples, and shout to God with a voice of triumph, for the Lord Most High is awesome." How many of you know that God is awesome? The Lord we serve is an awesome God. He's the great King of all the earth. It says God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with a sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. Lord, we come to praise you this morning. Say that. Say, Lord, I came to praise you today. Tell him. Say, Lord, I came to give you praise. You're an awesome God. You are amazing. Lord, I love you. I exalt you. I bless you. I worship you. Lord, I thank you that you inhabit our praises today. I thank you for your presence that fills this place. Lift our voice and we declare that the Lord comes. love like we love you. And there's none that we praise like we praise you. And there's none that we trust like we trust you, Lord. There's none like you. You are everlasting. Your faithfulness is everlasting. Lord, we worship you. We bless you today. Amen, church. There's none like him. There's none like the Lord. There's nobody who is as faithful as God is faithful. You can count on him. You can trust in him. You can rely on him. The Word of God says, he is not a man that he should lie. And if he said it, will he not do it? If he spoke it, will he not make it good? That means that God is faithful to do everything that he said that he would do. And here in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus said this. Verse number 18, he said, assuredly, I say to you that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything, say anything. If two of you on earth agree concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them. It will be done for them. It will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So we are gathered here. In whose name are we gathered today? I said, in whose name are we gathered today? Come on, shout it out. We're gathered in the name of Jesus. We're gathered in the name above every name. And so therefore, we know that the Lord is here in the midst of us. I said, Jesus himself is here in this room. He's in the midst of us. And he said that if two of you will agree about anything that they may ask, Jesus said it will be done by my Father in heaven. Because there is power in the prayer of agreement. When two believers join their faith together and pray in faith together and trust God together, the Bible says one will put 1,000 to flight, but two will chase 10,000. You see, there is multiplied power when we gather together. It is what is called the corporate anointing. We are all anointed. We all are anointed by God. But there is a greater anointing when we all join together. It's called the corporate anointing. And I want you to know that the presence of the Lord and the power of God is here today to meet whatever need you may have in your life, whatever you may be facing. I want you to know that you're in a church today that we actually believe the Bible. Amen. We actually believe that God is still a miracle-working God. Amen. We actually believe that Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he's the God who never changes. We really believe that what the Bible says is true. And that when you pray together with another believer, Jesus said it will be done for you. We believe the scripture that says the believer will lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. We believe that our God is the healer today. We believe that our God delivers and sets people free today. I remember one lady came to me a while ago, and she said, "Pastor Steve, I've suffered with depression, clinical depression, my whole life since I was 7 years old. And I've been in different kinds of medications, and I've been for all kinds of different treatments, and I've never been able to get free of it." And she said, "In the service today, you said, the Lord is here. His miracle working power is here. Whatever you need, just reach out and receive today." And she said, and I did. I just reached out and I said, "Lord, I receive freedom today. I receive deliverance today." And she said, "I was set free from that depression. And I thought that maybe it would come back. But it's been," she came to me, she said, "it's been months and it hasn't come back. First time in my life. I think this lady's in her 60s or maybe 70s. She said, "The first time in my life that I've never had depression. I'm totally free." Let me tell you, the Lord will set you free of depression. He'll set you free. He'll heal you. He'll supply whatever you need. Let me tell you, God wants to supply and meet every need in your life. Because He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He doesn't love you for what you've done. He loves you for who you are. He loves you because He created you. You're His creation. And today, before we sing our final song, I want to pray. I want to pray and I want to stand in agreement with anybody here this morning that needs prayer. If you have sickness in your body, let me tell you, you don't have to suffer with that. The Lord Jesus already paid the price. He already took your sickness and your disease on that cross. And the Bible says by His wounds you were healed. You can receive healing today. You can receive freedom today. Whatever it is, whatever you're facing, maybe I need the Lord to help me in restoring a family situation. I need the Lord to help me with financial need that I have, whatever it is, I want you to know that you're in the presence of God who loves you. You are among the family of God and we love you. And you have no need to feel shy or embarrassed because you're in the right place today. The Lord wants to meet that need. He wants to do a miracle. He loves to do miracles. He's a miracle worker. So I want you to come this morning as we sing this final song. If you need or you desire prayer, this might be the first time you've ever attended this church. That's good. Come on. Even if it's your first time, do not be shy. If you need prayer this morning, the Lord is calling you. You know, you can take the horse to water, but you can't make it drink. I can give the invitation, but I can't make you come. But if you will come in faith and look to God, I want to tell you, God will do great things. He'll meet that need. Amen.
Amen.
So if you need prayer, I want you to come right now. And I'm going to ask my wife and I'm going to ask the Connect Group leaders in our church to come and help me to pray. These people, they know how to pray. And they will pray with you. They will trust God with you. If you need prayer, come on right now. And as you do that, we're going to sing this song. It's called Yours, the Glory and the Praise. This is the final song of worship we're going to sing this morning. And so I want to encourage you to give it all you've got. Come on, worship God with all you've got. David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And all that is within me, let it bless His holy name." Let's bless the Lord with all that is within us. Let's give Him praise with all that is within us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Come on, sing it. Lead us, Monique. Thank you.
Thank you.
So good, man, isn't it? And the band did a great job. The worship team did a great job today. We got Muff over there rocking the drums, and the Bible says praise him with the clashing cymbals. So we biblical here. And we got Patrick. Good to see Patrick on the bass today, and David on the lead guitar, and Rick on the piano, and Cynic on the keyboards, and Tyler and Monique leading in worship. Give them a big hand. They did a great job today, didn't they? Turn to someone and tell them you're glad to see them. Smile at them. Tell them, I'm glad to see you today. You're looking good. You're good looking. church, don't you?
There's so much about church that I love. You know, I love what church does for people. I love what church has done for me. I mean, I know we're talking about the Lord, but when I first came into church at 15, and I think about the times I've had worshiping with other believers and the people that I've met and the things that God's spoken to me and done for me, and I know what He's done for so many people sitting here today. You know, isn't it beautiful to just be in the presence of God? I'm so glad that you're here today with us, and for those who are watching online, we're glad you've joined us today, and we want to welcome everyone. We're glad when we don't only welcome first-time visitors. We like it when you come back, keep coming, right? There's something that happens, you know. You can get a touch from the Lord, and you can get taught something, and you can receive something. But when you keep coming, it keeps growing and compounding. And eventually you find, gee, I know a whole lot about the Bible that I didn't know before. I know so much about the nature of God. I have such strong faith. That's what happens when you keep coming, right? But we want to welcome those who are here for the first time. We met a couple of new visitors in the lobby already. And if you are here for the first time, welcome. So glad that you've joined us. And I hope you just relax and enjoy the service, get something out of it. And what we like to do in our church, our ushers are standing ready. They have a gift bag they'd like to just hand to you where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you just wave your hand at us, then we can welcome you. God bless you. Welcome. Keep it up until they see you. Thank you. Just keep it up. Wonderful. Wonderful. Awesome. And over here, Erin, thank you so much. Wonderful. There's another Ray right in front of you. There you go. In that bag is a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. We put it in there hoping that it'll be an encouragement to you in some way. If you get a chance to listen to it, please do. And then there's also a white card. Just take a moment and fill that out for us. And at the end of the service, we pass an offering bag by. If you just drop that white card in, gives the pastor an opportunity to call you, find out how you enjoyed the service. And also, if we haven't met you, please come and say hi after the service. We appreciate that. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Steve.
Good. Well, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's good to see you today. Thank you, Todd. I'm always hearing your voice. Appreciate it. Praise God. Are you ready for the Word of God today?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to ask you if you have your Bible to turn with me and follow with me. I always encourage people to bring a pen and a paper, a pad of paper. Get a notebook for church and bring it with you. Because there's no way that you can remember and absorb everything I'm going to share with you today. No way. If I've got to take notes to remember it, trust me, you're going to need notes to remember it. And that's why it's always good to jot down some notes, because I find I get a lot more out of it than when I go home during the week. I can read over those notes, because I want you to know that I put as much into the next 40 minutes. I take my week to prepare to make the next 40 minutes worth your while being here this morning.
Amen. That's right.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
So we're not here just because we can check the list, went to church today. We are here to learn, to grow, to move forward, to progress, to become everything God destined us to be.
Amen.
Amen. So really, what I want to speak about this morning is about staying committed. Because if you are going to become everything God destined you to be, and if you are going to have everything God destined you to have, you're going to have to be committed and stay committed. Committed to the Lord, number one. Committed to your faith. Committed to your church. Committed to your spouse. Committed to your friends. Committed to your job. Committed to reaching the lost. Committed to giving to build God's kingdom. Committed to serving. I mean, you got to stay committed in all these areas if you really want to become everything God destined you to be.
Amen.
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 I mean, even when you go to, if you want to lose some weight,
Not saying that any of you need to lose weight, but if you wanted to lose weight, how many of you know you've got to be committed to it?
Yeah.
You don't get up one day, well, I think I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to diet, I think about it, I'm thinking about it. You've got to be committed to it. You've got to, if you go to the gym, I found out the gym don't work so good when you go once a month. You know, exercise don't work so good once a month. You've got to be committed to it. The word committed means to be wholeheartedly dedicated. It means to be loyal to a person, to a cause, to an activity, to a job. To be committed means I'm wholeheartedly dedicated and I am loyal. Some synonyms for the word committed. Do you know what a synonym is?
Yes.
Dessert.
A synonym. It's a word that's similar in meaning. Some synonyms for committed are allegiance, dedication, devotedness, attachment, faithfulness, loyalty, dependability, trustworthiness, reliability. A person who's committed, they are reliable, they are dependable, they are faithful, they are loyal. Some antonyms for committed, that means this is the opposite of committed. Some antonyms are disloyalty, estrangement, separation, unfaithfulness, disloyalty, alienation. Now, the first area you want to stay committed is to be committed to God, committed to the Lord, committed to Jesus. That should be your greatest commitment in your life. The Bible says in Proverbs 2 in verse number 8, it says he pays special attention to his loyally committed ones. The Bible says God pays special attention to his loyally committed ones. Now we know that God is not a respecter of persons. In other words, God is not biased. God loves everybody the same. God gives everybody the same opportunity. Everybody has the same opportunity to know the Lord. Everybody has the same opportunity. God is salvation's for everybody, right? But yet, the scripture says God pays special attention to those who are loyally committed. Do you know, even though God is not a respecter of persons, even though God is fair to all, God gives special attention to those who are committed to him. 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9 says this, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And I love the way that reads from the Message translation. The Message Bible says it like this, God is always on the alert, constantly on the lookout for people who are totally committed to him. God is looking out. God's eyes are searching the earth for those who are committed to him. He wants to show himself strong in their life.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I want to be one of those that God is paying special attention to.
Yes.
Philippians 1 verse 1, it says, Paul and Timothy, both of us, committed servants of Jesus Christ. Say, I'm a committed servant of Jesus Christ. Acts 11 verse 23, it says, so he encouraged all the people to remain solidly committed to the Lord. Paul encouraged the people to remain solidly committed to the Lord. I encourage you today to remain, to stay committed to the Lord. Not to start out all excited. Praise God. I've seen so many people in the time that I've been a Christian since I was a teenager. And I've literally, without exaggeration, I've seen thousands of people start out all excited for the Lord, give their life to Jesus, come into church, sharing the gospel with their friends, studying the Bible, all excited. And then something happens, they get disappointed, they get offended, something happens. And before long, they stop coming to church, and then they stop reading their Bible, and they stop serving God. Listen, I've seen it happen so many times. I don't want that to be you. I encourage you, stay committed to the Lord. Don't let anything get you away. Don't let anything distract you. Don't let anything offend you. Stay committed to him. I encourage you to stay committed to God's word. Stay committed to prayer. Stay committed to your church family. All of those things are contained in the next verse I want to read to you, Acts 2, verse 41. It says, that day about 3,000 took him at his word. They were baptized and they signed up. They committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal, and prayers. Now notice, 3,000 people got saved. They gave their life to Jesus. What did they do? They committed themselves to the apostles' teaching. We committed to their teaching, to follow, to listen. They committed themselves to prayer. They committed themselves to life together. Do you know that when you give your life to Jesus, you become a part of the family of God? You become a part of the body of Christ? And do you know, not only must we be committed to the Lord, but we must be committed to His body. We must be committed to our church family. We should be committed to pray with our church family. We've got to be committed to the Word of God. Amen. They committed themselves to the apostles' teaching, to life together, and to prayer. We must be committed to God's Word. In James 1:25, the last 3 weeks I've been teaching about, I taught a series of three greatest success habits in your life. And I shared from Joshua 1 verse 8, where God told Joshua, if you'll meditate in my word day and night, and if you will don't let my word depart from your mouth, in other words, if you will say what my word says, and if you will do everything written in my word, so if you'll meditate in my word, if you'll say what my word says, if you'll do what my word says, then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you will be successful. And last week I spoke about the importance of being committed to do the word of God. And we looked at the scripture, I want to share it again. James 1 verse 25, it says, the person who continues to study God's perfect laws that make people free and who remains committed to them will be blessed. You see, it's not just starting, it's not how you start out. Family, let me tell you something, it's how you end out. It's not how you start, it's how you end. You've got to remain committed to the Word of God. Committed to read the Bible. To do what the Bible says. Commit to that for the rest of your life. We must be committed to prayer. Jesus said in Luke 18, he said one day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. The Bible says we should always pray. We should never quit praying. We should never quit reading God's word and be committed to do what it says. Amen. We must be committed and stay committed to our church. We must be planted in the house of God. Let me tell you, God brought you here. Don't let anything get you to leave. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. I got a letter from a lady just a while back. And she'd been a Christian for over 20 years. And she said God had been kept directing her. She was attending another church, but God kept directing her to come to this church. And so eventually she did it. She was attending for a few months. And then she heard me talking about our new building and that we're going to be moving into. And she asked what happened with the last building. And someone in the church told her that the reason we lost the previous building was because I took lavish vacations and I bought expensive clothing and I lost all my motor vehicles and all other kinds of things that were said that were not true. But here's what amazes me, is that she said God kept directing her to this church. Let me tell you, that should be all that matters. If God directed me to this church, that's all that matters. Because family, she thought that she was justified. Well, the Lord directed me here, but then I heard this, and then I heard this, and then I heard this, and so I decided to leave. The problem is what you heard isn't true, and what happened is the enemy got you out of where God sent you. If the enemy can get you out of this church, trust me, he will. He'll do everything he can. But Psalm 92 verse 13 says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. How many of you know to be planted is a commitment? Right? The enemy is going to do everything he can to get you to disconnect from God's house. And the tragedy is if God called you to this church, if God directed you to this church, and if you leave where God sent you, then you will not be satisfied at another church because it's not where you're supposed to be. And so what ends up happening, and I've seen this 1,000 times, and that's not an exaggeration. I've seen it 1,000 times. People, when I was at Pastor Theo's church, When I was on the staff, and I would see people come to church and they get all excited and they love the ministry and they love the Word of God, and the next thing you know, they got offended, they got disappointment, something happened to them, and they stop coming to church, and they go to this church, and then they're not satisfied, they go to another church, and they're not satisfied, and then pretty soon they stop going to church altogether. And you know what happened? The devil got them out of where God put them.
Amen.
See, God put me in Pastor Figure's church. I was 16 years old. And I came, I learned at a very young age. By the time I was 17, I realized God put me there. Now, I didn't know it immediately. But by the time I was 17, I was smart enough to figure out that I didn't come to this church by an accident, that God put me there. And let me tell you, I had many, many people try to get me out by telling me things. But I thank God, God put me here and nothing is going to get me out.
Amen.
You've got to stay committed to your faith. In Hebrews 6 verse 12, it says, be like those who stay the course with committed faith and then get everything promised. Do you know if you want to get everything God's promised you, you've got to be committed in your faith. Stay committed to what you believe in God for. Stay committed to the dream God put in your heart. Keep trusting Him. Hold fast to that confession of faith.
Yes.
Hebrews 10 verse 23, it tells us we must continue to hold firmly to our declaration of faith, because the one who made the promise is faithful.
Yes.
We must be committed. We must hold fast to our declaration of faith. In other words, whatever you believe in God for, don't stop believing. Stay committed. Don't give up. Don't quit. Because you know what I mean? The answer could be right around the corner. Amen. We all have opportunities to give up on what we're believing for. To walk away from an uncomfortable situation. To slack off, not be our best. But if you're going to reach your highest potential, you have to stay committed. You can't be moved by what's working out or by what's not working out. You can't give up on a child because they're not doing what they should. You can't slack off at work because you're not being treated right. You've got to have a made-up mind that you are in it for the long haul. It might be difficult. You might have a good reason to walk away, but don't take the easy way out. Stay committed to your marriage. Stay committed to raising those children. Stay committed to your friends. I mean, they may make some mistakes, but you've got to give your friends some grace. Don't be a fair-weathered friend. Be committed in the good times and in the bad times. Amen. Stay committed to your dreams. Don't give up on the promises that God has put down in your heart. It may be taking longer than what you thought, but God is still on the throne, and He is a faithful God. Let me tell you, He's already set the time for it to come to pass.
Amen.
Stay committed to your church. Stay committed to your job. Be a loyal person. Be someone who can be counted on day in and day out. You're not always going to feel like it. I can tell you there'll be good days and there'll be tough days. There'll be times when it's exciting, and there'll be times when you feel like giving up. That's when you've got to be determined. And you've got to say, I'm going to do the right thing when it's hard. I'm committed to this marriage. I'm going to love you even though you don't deserve it. I'm committed to this job. I'm going to be my best even though my supervisor isn't treating me right. I'm committed to my dreams. I'm not going to give up just because I don't see anything happening. I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep expecting. I'm going to keep thanking God. I know that it is on the way. I'm committed to my faith. Amen. Amen. Listen to me. God rewards consistent, faithful, committed people. Too many people are wishy-washy. They'll love you as long as you perform perfectly, but if not, they're out of there. They'll be their best as long as you keep them encouraged. They'll pursue a dream as long as they're getting good breaks. But their commitment is based upon things going their way. When it's difficult, when it's taking longer than they thought, then they get discouraged and they start to slack off. Well, you know, Steve, I don't like my job. They don't treat me right. That's why I show up late. That's why I play on the computer half the day. They don't pay me what I deserve to earn anyway. Stay committed to your job. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 in verse 23, it says, work hard and cheerfully at all that you do, just as though you were working for the Lord. Work hard at what you do like you're working for God. Can you imagine going to work every day? I'm going to work for the Lord today. Not merely for your masters. It says remembering that it is the Lord Christ who's going to pay you, giving you your full portion of all he owns. He's the one you're really working for. Do you know when you go to work, you're really not working for that person? If you go with the attitude, I'm working unto God, do you know that God will reward you?
Amen.
God's the one keeping all the records. And the Bible says in Psalm 75, in verse 6, it says, promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, nor from the north. God is the judge. He puts one down, he sets another one up. The Living Bible says it like this. Promotion and power come from nowhere on earth, but only from God. He promotes one and disposes another. Deposes. Excuse me. Just checking, see if you're paying attention. Deposes another. See, promotion comes from God. When you work that job and you are faithful and you are committed as unto the Lord, realize that you don't have to depend on your boss to promote you or reward you. God will reward you and God will promote you.
Amen.
Well, they don't pay me enough, Pastor Steve. I'm undervalued here. They pay me more, I do more. But you see, if you don't pass the test of being your best where you are right now, showing up with a good attitude, doing more than what you have to do, then promotion will never come to you. And they may not be paying you what you want. But remember this, your job is not your source. God is your source. God is your source. And God uses people, yes. God uses supervisors, he uses companies. But don't get them mixed up with your source. If you see your company as your provider, or your boss as your source, then in a sense, you're making them your God. You're letting them control your destiny. They determine how high you're going to go. And if for some reason they don't like you, and if they're not for you, then, you know, too bad. You're now limited. No, you've got to stop looking to people and start looking to God. He not only controls your destiny, he controls the entire universe. He lifts one up and he puts another one down. He determines how high you're going to go. No person, no supervisor, no company can stand against our God. He knows what's happening. Let me tell you, he sees what's unfair. But when you stay committed to your job, when you keep being your best day in and day out, despite who doesn't like you, God will make it up to you. He is your source. He has the final say. Well, Steve, it's difficult to stay committed to my job or committed to my marriage or committed to this dream. And nothing seems to be going my way. Listen, if it was easy, everybody would do it. God chose you because he knew you could handle it. You got the courage, you got the strength, you got the talent, you got the anointing for what he has destined for you to do. You're not weak, you're not lacking, you're full of can-do power. You didn't come this far to stop now. Let me tell you, the people that see dreams come to pass are the people who stay committed. I've heard it said, on the road to your destiny, halfway through every person will be tempted to give up. And some people turn around and go back, but the others stay committed and keep on moving forward.
Right.
You know what's interesting? Is both people travel the same distance. Because one goes halfway back to where they started, and the other one goes halfway ahead and reaches their goal. Committed people outlast the difficulty. Committed people stick with the relationship, even though they have a right to walk away. Committed people go the extra mile. They do more than what they have to do.
Yes.
Is there an area in your life you tempted to give up, just slack off, not be your best? God is saying to you today, stay committed, stay faithful, stay loyal. Committed people reach the fullness of their destiny. The dreams God's put in your heart, the promises you're standing on, it may be taking longer than what you thought. You don't see any sign of it happening, but it's a test, family. It's a test. Are you going to get discouraged? Are you going to give up on what you're believing for? Stay committed. Keep doing the right thing. God is in control. He sees your faithfulness. And let me tell you, you're going to come into your season of favor. Your dream is right up ahead of you. In 2 Kings chapter 2, the prophet Elijah was about to be taken to heaven in a whirlwind. And he had an assistant named Elisha. And Elisha was like a son to Elijah. Elisha took care of Elijah. He went everywhere with him, and he made sure that he had what he wanted, what he needed. And the Bible says in 2 Kings 2, verse 2, Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel." Elisha knew that Elijah was going to be taken away. And he could have thought, okay, I'm going to stay. You know, after all, his life is almost over. But instead, look what he said. Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went down together to Bethel. And the group of prophets from Bethel came to Elisha and asked him, "Did you know that the Lord is going to take away your master from you today?" "Of course I know," Elisha answered, "but be quiet about it." And then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Jericho." And again Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord God lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went to Jericho. And then a group of prophets from Jericho came to Elisha and asked him, "Did you know the Lord is going to take away your master away from you today?" And Elisha said, "Of course I know. Be quiet about it." That's a nice way of saying it. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to the Jordan River." But again, what did Elisha say? "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will never leave you." So they went together. Three times Elijah tried to get rid of him. Three times Elijah said, in effect, "Elisha, you've done enough. You've served me all these years. You've been faithful. You've been loyal. Take some time off. Go relax. You don't have to come with me." But Elisha wouldn't hear of it. His attitude was, "I'm committed to you, Elijah. And I'm going to stick with you through thick and thin. I was with you in the good times when you were performing miracles. And I'm going to be with you in the tough times as you come near to the end of your life." Nobody would have faulted Elisha if he walked away. Because after all, his boss told him to. He had a good reason. But he wouldn't slack off. He wouldn't take the easy way out. He was committed. He was loyal. Let me tell you, he was someone you can count on. And look at verse 8. Then Elijah folded his cloak together and struck the water with it. The water divided and the two of them went across on dry ground. And when they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken away." And Elisha replied, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor." You've asked the difficult thing, Elijah said. "You've asked the difficult thing, but if you see me when I'm taken away from you, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't. If you see me when I'm taken away." And as they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between the two men, separating them, and Elijah was carried away by a whirlwind into heaven. Do you know there are only two men who didn't see death? Elijah. Who's the other one? And Enoch. Do you know they're coming back? The book of Revelation, they're going to come back to the earth. This is what the book of Revelation teaches. So they never saw death. Elijah was taken away. And Elisha saw it and he cried out, "My father, my father, I see the chariots and charioteers of Israel." And as they disappeared from sight, Elisha tore his clothes in distress. Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak, which had fallen when he was taken up. And Elisha returned to the bank of the Jordan River. And he struck the water with Elijah's cloak. And he cried out, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And then the water divided. And Elisha went across. Now, do you know that Elisha ended up performing twice as many miracles as Elijah? Do you know that? Yes. Here's my point. Elisha would have never seen the double portion if he had not stayed committed to Elijah. If he had left the first time Elijah told him to go, or the second time, or the third time, he wouldn't have seen the fullness of his destiny. And let me tell you, there will be plenty of times where you are tempted to walk away. Walk away from a dream. It's been too long. It's never going to happen, Pastor Steve. Walk away from a marriage. Walk away from a church. Walk away from a job. They don't appreciate you. They never say thank you. You could slack off, take the easy way out. But here's what you can't see. There's a double portion up in front of you. There's a double portion right up in front of you. You've got to stay committed when it's hard. You've got to do the right thing when the wrong thing's happening. You've got to keep loving that man, loving that woman, even though they don't deserve it. When you stay loyal and you stay consistent and you stay faithful, let me tell you, a double portion is coming. Double favor, double honor, double resources, double influence. God will reward you for staying committed. But this double portion is not for everybody. Because it's not common, it's not ordinary. It's not like today, everyone competes, gets a prize. Everyone gets a cup. There's no winners, there's no losers, everyone competes. This isn't like that. This is for people who do more than what they have to do. This is for people who go the extra mile. This is for people who refuse to quit. This is for people who stay committed to the Lord, committed to the dream, committed to their faith, committed to their friends, committed to their family, committed to their job. I mean, I imagine after Elijah told Elisha that third time, you know, stay here, and he wouldn't do it. Elijah must have thought, I tell you what, this is one stubborn boy. He will not change his mind. He's determined to take care of me. Do you know that's the way you have to be to see God's best in your life? There has to be a stubbornness. There has to be a stubbornness. I'm committed to the Lord. I'll never turn from Him, no matter what. I'm committed to this marriage. Leaving is not an option. I'm committed to my children. No matter what they do or don't do, I'm going to be there for them. I'm committed to my church. God planted me here. Nothing's going to get me to leave where God put me. I'm committed to give and build God's house. I'm committed to serve. I'm committed to my connect group. I'm committed to being my best at this job. You don't let people talk you out of it. You don't slack off because it's not fair. When you stay committed, let me tell you, God will make things happen that you could never make happen in your own ability. Suddenly things will turn around. Suddenly your marriage will improve. Suddenly your business will take off. I mean, many of you have passed this test. You've been committed. You've been doing the right thing. I want you to be encouraged. You are close to your double portion. You are close to your breakthrough. You are close to meeting the right person. You are close to that new level. I want to encourage you. You don't realize how close you are to that breakthrough you've been believing for. You know, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, He was so distressed that He sweat great drops of blood. On His way to Calvary, He was so beaten and so bruised that He fell down under the weight of the cross. He could have said, God, this is too much. I did the right thing, but these people have treated me so badly. They've mocked me. They've ridiculed me. They've sent me to the cross. I'm done. I've had enough. But Jesus, aren't you glad Jesus stayed committed? Yes. He was committed when it wasn't fair. He was committed when He had every right to give up. Nobody would have faulted Him if He'd walked away. But He was in it for the long haul. He was stubborn when it came to fulfilling His purpose. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 verse 1, let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy of awaiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding the shame. And now He is seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility that He endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. When you're thinking about giving up yourself, think about what Jesus endured. Think about what He went through for you. The Message Bible says it like this. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race we're in. Study how He did it, because He never lost sight of where He was headed. That's exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, the cross, the shame, whatever. And now He's there in the place of honor, right there alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, the long litany of hostility that He plowed through. That'll shoot adrenaline into your soul. Think about what Jesus went through for you. We are the people who will do like Jesus and be committed and stay committed. People who don't give up because it's not fair. People who don't slack off because it's taking longer than they thought. People who have a made up mind. Say, I'm staying committed. Say, I'm committed. Come on, if you believe it, say, I am committed. And I'm staying committed. In 1960, a young man opened a pizza parlor in Michigan. He was an orphan. He'd been raised in a Catholic orphanage. And he borrowed $900 to start this small pizza parlor. He had all kinds of bad breaks. A business partner went into his account and stole several thousands of dollars from his account. It was his life savings. In 1968, a fire burned his building down. The insurance company only paid him a penny on the dollar. He could have gotten discouraged. He could have thought, man, this just isn't meant to be. I mean, this isn't going my way. But this young man stayed committed to the dream that God put in his heart. And he had an idea. Instead of people coming to get their pizza, he decided to take the pizza to the people. He started the first delivery service. He called it Domino's. He started with one restaurant and $900. Today there are over 6,000 Domino's. And a few years ago, Tom Monahan sold his company for $1 billion. What am I saying? When you stay committed, God will open doors that you could never open. God will bring you into your double portion. God will make things happen you could never make happen. You might have a lot of reasons to give up on your dream. Like Tom, you've had disappointments, you've had setbacks. Listen, it's all part of the process. When you get knocked down, you've got to get back up again. God didn't bring you this far to leave you now, family. Don't settle for mediocrity when God created you for greatness. There's something in you that will cause you to stand out. There's something that nobody else has, nobody else can do. God put a seed in you so you can leave your mark. And don't let people talk you out of it. Don't let failures convince you to give up. Don't let delays and detours get you to become discouraged. Family, but stay committed. I knew of a man. I heard of a man who had an idea for a business. He was turned down by 31 banks. 31 experts told him it's not a good idea. He's wasting his time. You would think he'd get the message, you know, after 31 banks said no. But like Elisha, this young man was stubborn. Those banks, really, they said in effect, you know, leave, go away. It's not a good idea. He said, no thanks, I'm committed to my dream. When God puts a dream in your heart, let me tell you, when God puts a dream in your heart, it won't go away. You can try to push it down. You can try to dismiss it. But that seed is still is alive. This young man went to bank number 32. And they loved his idea. They backed him. He started his business. It's now expanded all over the world. It's totally just blown up all over the world. Listen, other people may have told you no. But when God says yes, his yes cancels out their no. His yes overrules what people are telling you. You've got to stay committed to your dream. You've got to do the right thing when it's hard. Even when you have permission to give up. Well, Steve, the bank told me no. Well, you have permission to walk out of a relationship. Elijah said I could go. Be an Elisha. Stay committed. Stay loyal. Stay faithful. Amen? Amen. You know, in the scripture, Joseph and Mary were planning their wedding. I mean, you can imagine it was an exciting time. I'm sure their friends and family were very happy for them. They were planning on getting married. I mean, life was good until God interrupted their plans. An angel appears to Mary and tells her, you're going to have a baby. Without knowing a man, he'll be the Son of God. He's going to set his people free. And she was so excited. But she wasn't looking forward to having this conversation with her fiancé, Joseph. I mean, you can imagine how that went. Joseph, I've got some good news. What? I'm pregnant. I'm having a baby. But don't worry, it's not your child. The angel told me I'm going to give birth to the Messiah, the Son of God. Can you imagine Joseph's reaction? This never ever happened before. Can you imagine? Yeah, right. What kind of angel was that? Joseph was an honorable, respectable man. And back in those days especially, having a baby out of wedlock was a disgrace. This was going to make him look bad. So he wanted to quietly just call things off, not embarrass Mary. But guess what happened? An angel appeared to him. And the angel said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because everything she's told you the truth. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She's going to give birth to the Messiah. Joseph could have said, well, that's all fine and good, but I didn't sign up for this. I don't want all this controversy. I don't want people tarnishing my reputation. I don't want people always talking bad about me. He had plenty of reasons to back out, but Joseph did the right thing when it was hard. He was committed. He was loyal. And let me tell you, listen, family, in relationships, whether it's with your spouse, with your children, or friends, there may be times when you have a good reason to get out. They hurt, they did things to hurt you. They let you down. They didn't perform perfectly. You could justify walking away. Nobody would fault you. But let me tell you, when you're a Joseph, when you're committed, you show mercy. You give another chance. You make allowances for mistakes. They may not deserve it. They may be guilty. But how many of you know it's only guilty people who need mercy? An innocent person doesn't need any mercy. Stay committed to your family, committed to your friends. Be someone they can count on. I love this scripture in Proverbs 17:17. It says, a friend loves at all times. Amen. And a brother is born for adversity. The Living Bible says, a true friend is always loyal. And a brother is born to help in time of need. And the Message Bible says, friends love through all kinds of weather. And families stick together in all kinds of trouble. Let me tell you, a true friend walks in when everybody else walks out. A true friend will be there for you, not just when you succeed, but when you fail. I realize there are times, listen, I understand there are times when a relationship comes to an end, you have to move on. I understand. But don't let that be a pattern where you bail out if they're not meeting all your demands, living up to all your expectations. You know, people make mistakes. Let me tell you, good people can blow it.
Amen.
People that love you can let you down. But God rewards people who are loyal and consistent. When life is complicated, people who will stick with someone when they don't deserve it. Let me tell you, I found out, I know who my friends are. Your friends are not the people around you when everything's going good. Your friends are the people who are with you. You go through the tough times. That's who your friends are. You see, a true friend is someone who will be their best when someone else is at their worst. Years ago, Jim Baker, the former head of the PTL, the Christian Network, went to prison for not handling things properly. He admitted his mistakes. He got like a huge prison, 38 years, 40-year prison term or something. It was a big scandal. It was news around the world. It was in South Africa. In South Africa we heard it. And when he was about to be released from prison, he was released early. Franklin Graham contacted him. That's Billy Graham's son. And he said, the Franklin family, we want to rent you a home and we want to buy you a car. Jim Baker said, Franklin, you don't want to do that. I've got too much negative baggage. You don't want to be associated with me. You will be criticized mercilessly. Franklin said, Jim, you were our friend before you went to prison, and you will be our friend afterwards. And you know, the first Sunday that he was out of prison, Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife, called the halfway house where Jim was staying, and she asked the man in charge for permission for Jim to come to church with their family that Sunday. And he approved. And when Jim arrived at the church, they took him down to the front row. And they sat him right next to Franklin Graham. And there were two empty seats next to Jim, and he didn't know who they were for. But right before the service started, a side door opened, and Billy and Ruth Graham came out and sat right next to Jim Baker. What was he doing? Billy Graham was saying, I'm committed to you. You can count on me. I'm with you in the good times, and I'll be with you in the bad. Let me tell you, you can tell who your friends are. Not when everything's going great, but not when you succeed, but when you fail.
Yeah.
That's when you know who you are. I'm asking you to be a loyal person. To stay committed to the people God's put in your life. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to do things you don't understand. I'm just going to let you in for a secret right now. I will be making mistakes. some mistakes between now and the time I die. I just want to let you know. How many of you know when your friend does, when your friend makes a mistake, does something crazy, they don't need another judge condemning them. They don't need more guilt and shame. They've got enough of that. You can help love them back into wholeness. You can be the friend that walks in when everybody else walks out. When you're committed, let me tell you, when you're loyal, it doesn't mean you're approving their actions. You're simply showing them the mercy that you would want God to show you. You're being a healer. You're being a restorer. The Bible says if you see a brother overtaken in a sin, go in a spirit of gentleness and restore them. They've got enough things pushing them down. Let's be people that lift people up. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Too many people today are fair-weathered friends. They'll love you in the good times. They walk away in the tough times. Our attitude should be, you can count on me. I'm committed to loving you. I'm committed to being good to you. I'm committed to defending you. Let me tell you, there are relationships that will go to a new level if you would just quit basing your commitment on somebody else's performance and let them know you're in it from the long haul, through thick and thin. Because that takes the pressure off. There's a freedom and a security when they know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are for them. Amen? When I was 16 years old, and I'm going to close with this. When I was 16 years old, I committed my life to Jesus. It's 37 years later, and I can say that I'm still committed to Jesus. Have I been perfect? No. Have I made mistakes? Yes. Have I let the Lord down? Yes. Have I let people down? Yes. Have you? What did I do? I asked God to forgive me, and I got back up, and I kept on. You see, I believe what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 13. He said, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. The Message translation says it like this. Staying with it, that's what God requires. Stay with it to the end. You won't be sorry, and you'll be saved. I want to encourage, I've seen so many people committed their life, themselves to follow Jesus, but they didn't stay committed. They got offended, they got disappointed, they got distracted. But I really believe if you want to make it into heaven, you're going to have to stay committed to following Jesus. Yeah. Number two, when I was 18 years old, Jill and I got married. This is the original one. We've been married in October, 35 years. Wow. Have we had opportunities to quit? When you get married at 18, believe me, you have opportunities. But our commitment is to the Lord, to His Word, and it helped us to stay committed to one another. When I was 20 years old, I answered the call to ministry. I committed myself. I remember standing in my mother's kitchen when I was 17 and saying, Lord, not my will, but let your will be done in my life. Whatever you want for my life, Lord, let your will be done. I'll do what you want me to do, go where you want me to go, say what you want me to say, be what you want me to be. I remember that clearly. God took me up on that, and He called me to minister, to be a pastor. When I was 20 years old, I went into the ministry. 33 years later, I want to tell you, I'm still committed to that call. Yeah. I believe that I'm doing what I was born to do. I believe I'm doing what God called me to do. Yeah. In 1999, we left Cape Town, South Africa, and we left our church of 2,500 members, and we came to America to start this church. Am I committed to this church? You better believe it. Have I been tempted to quit at times? Yes. But you know why I can never quit? Because I believe with all my heart that God called me that this is my destiny, and no matter what happens, no matter who comes, no matter who goes, I am staying committed to stand before Him and hear Him say, Steve, well done. You did what I called you to do. Amen. Do you know, I believe that it is God's plan for our church. I believe God called me here, and it is His plan for our church to be a large church. I believe that there are thousands of people in Jupiter, in West Palm, in Palm Beach Gardens, in Stuart, and in Port St. Lucie, that God is destined to be a part of this church. I believe that. And I want you to know that I am committed to this church no matter what. No matter what. If this church is this size, till Jesus comes back, I'm committed. Because the size of the church is irrelevant to my commitment. So I'm doing this to God. Amen. See, I don't get to heaven one day and He says, Steve, you've got a big reward because you had a church of 10,000. Or you only got a little reward because you had a church of 200. God doesn't reward you on the size of your church. God rewards you on your obedience to do what He called you to do. That's the thing. So I want you to know, we've been through challenges in this church. We've had some ups and we've had some downs and we've lost building. But I want you to know I am committed to this church. I'm not going anywhere. I don't look at this church as my source of supply. God is my source of supply. God is my source of supply. And I'm asking you to stay committed. I'm asking you to be committed to God, to your job, to your family, to your spouse, to this church. If God called you here, be committed to this church. Be committed to serve. Be committed to be here every Sunday. And then to be here early.
Yes.
Amen.
I met those two young ladies who are here for the first time. They were here early, man. And another gentleman came in. And I said, don't worry, they'll all be here soon. They're sitting here, there's no one here. And then I turn around from praise and worship and you're all here. Listen, I would encourage you. It's good you came to church. Be committed to get here on time.
Amen.
Are you, Tim? Shouldn't your commitment to God be greater than your commitment to your job?
Yes.
Be committed to be a giver. Be committed to reach God. Be committed, stay committed to bring other people with you. To reach other people for the kingdom of God. Be committed. Amen?
Amen.
Is there an area you're tempted to give up? Maybe just slack off. But I believe God is saying to you today, stay committed. Keep doing the right thing. You can't see it, but up in front of you, there's a double portion. It might be difficult, but listen, you are well able. You've got to make up your mind. I'm in it for the long haul. You've got to be stubborn when it comes to not giving up. Because if you'll do it, let me tell you, I believe that like Elisha, you're going to see double favor. You're going to see double honor. You're going to see double resources. God's going to open doors that nobody can shut for you. God is going to promote you. If you will stay committed, those dreams He's put in your life, let me tell you, the Bible says, don't grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap. Your due season is right up ahead. Stay committed in the name of Jesus. Do you receive this today? Come and give God a hand of praise and thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Lift your hand to heaven. Say this. Say, Lord, I am committed and I'm staying committed to you. To follow you, to serve you, to please you. Say, Lord, I am a committed person. I am committed to my church. I'm committed to my faith. I'm committed to my dreams. I'm committed to my family. I'm committed to my job. I am committed and I'm staying committed. Say, I'm not a quitter. In the name of Jesus, I'm not looking back. I'm pressing forward to everything that you have in front of me. Like Elisha, I'm going to stay committed to the people you put in my life and committed to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Won't you bow your head for a moment? And I'm going to ask, please, if you close your eyes, while heads are bowed and while we have our eyes closed, I just want to right now, I want to pray a special prayer, really, a life-changing prayer. I want to pray for anyone that is here this morning and you are not sure where you stand with God today. You're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord. I want to ask you a question. And the question is, if you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain? Can you say that you know without any doubt? If you died today, you know you'd go to heaven. Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Well, listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you, if you died today, are you sure, are you certain of where you would spend eternity? Because the Bible teaches us there is a heaven to gain. Heaven is a real place. And there is a hell to shun. And the good news is you can walk out of here today and you can know for sure that all is right, that all is well between you and God. You can know without any doubt that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend the rest of eternity. I want to pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But one thing I want to ask you to do, if you want to be included in this prayer, while we have our eyes closed, I ask you right now to just lift your hand up, to just slip your hand up high and say, here's my hand, Pastor Steve. Pray for me, include me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to know that everything is right between me and the Lord. Pray for me. If that's you, lift your hand right now. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer. Thank you. All right, I want to ask everybody, if you lifted your hand, and even if you didn't, say this prayer with me. Everyone, church, say this. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much, that you sent Jesus, your Son, to come to this earth for me, to die on a cross for me, to shed his blood for me. Lord, you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess that Jesus is my Lord, you said that I would be saved. And so I do this today. So I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart, come into my life, forgive me of my sin, save me, Lord, make me your child, because I surrender my life to you today. Say, I confess, Jesus Christ, you are now Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to live for you. Lord, I'm going to follow you. Your will be done, not mine. And I thank you because I have received you as my Lord and Savior. I am now born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home, and my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. If you lift your hand and you prayed that prayer, I want to just congratulate you. It's the best decision you ever make in your life, and that is to follow Jesus. To stay committed to following him. I made that decision at 16 years old. Best decision I ever made in my life. Can anyone say amen?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I want to ask you right now, before we close the service, we are going to honor the Lord. We are going to honor God with our giving. Now's the time when we bring the tithes and the offerings into God's house. And I want to read the scripture to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse number 13. The God's Word translation says it like this. You will honor God through this genuine act of service because of your commitment to spread the good news of Christ and because of your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. Now, Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, And he was talking to them about their giving. And he says, because of your commitment to spread the good news, because of your commitment to give, you're honoring God. Do you know God wants us to be committed to give in order to spread the gospel and to build his kingdom? Isn't that right? God wants us to be committed to give, committed to tithe. When I was 17, I committed to tithe. That means to bring the first 10%, the first dime on every dollar would bring to God's house and would honor him, because that's what the scripture teaches. When I was 17, I committed myself to tithe. It's been 36 years and I'm still committed to tithe. And let me tell you, it's the best investment I ever made in my life. There have been things that I've bought in my life, some of them I regret. I've bought vehicles I don't even think about. I've bought cars I don't even think about. I've bought clothes. I've cleaned out some of my closet yesterday. I've got a big pile of clothes I've got to give away. I've bought things that I regret buying. But I don't regret a dime that I've invested into the kingdom of God. You know why? Because I've laid up treasure in heaven. The scripture says this. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 19, he says, stop storing up treasures for yourself on earth, where moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal. Instead, store up treasures for yourselves in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal, for your heart will be where your treasure is. I can tell you where your heart is. Just take one look at your checkbook. I'll tell you where your heart is. Because when you spend your money, that's where your heart is. Don't be shout me down because I'm preaching good right now. I'm going out with a bang right now. If you will go and spend $200 playing a golf game and come to church and put $20 in the offering, don't tell me your heart is in the kingdom of God. Your heart's for golf. And there's nothing wrong in spending $200 on a game of golf. No problem. As long as you're doing more for the Lord. That's my point. No problem, drive a Ferrari. Go for it. As long as you're putting more than that in the offering. You see, I don't regret one single dime that I've invested in the kingdom of God. You know why? Because we read it. I've stored up treasure. I've got rewards that are going to last me forever and ever and ever eternally. Everything you have on this earth, let me tell you, none of it is going with you. So you only enjoy it for the time you're on the earth. Maybe you live to be 80, maybe you live to be 90. Let's say you live to be 100. So for those 100 years, you'll enjoy it. But what you do on the earth echoes in eternity. What you do on the earth determines your rewards for eternity. God promises that he will bless and prosper you on this earth when you're a faithful tither and giver. God will prosper you in this life. But what I'm saying is the rewards in eternity are much greater and everlasting.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I'm staying committed to give.
Amen.
I'm staying committed to tithe. How many of you say, Pastor Steve, I'm committed to tithe, I'm committed to give, I am a committed giver, I'm committed to spread the gospel? You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had Jan and Sufana Merva, who we've known for 25 years. They were in our church in Cape Town, and they moved to Switzerland, Zurich, and then Jan started doing mission work throughout Africa for the last 25 years. We've supported him. He told us how they have ministered to, they have taught over 12,000 pastors. Do you know that when I get to heaven one day, and when you get to heaven one day, if you've given into this church, because you've given unto this church, we've supported Jan and Sue. When you get to heaven, you are going to get rewarded for all those pastors and what God did in their life because you gave so it could happen. Amen.
Amen.
I want to thank everyone who has given toward our new building. The Lord has given us a new building. The Lord has done a miracle for us. We're going to be moving in our new building in March, I'm believing March. We take possession January, we start the build out. Our new building, let me just let you know the secret. Our new building is going to be better than the last one. We're going to decorate it better than the last one. We're going to have the latest technology. We're going to go back to filming and putting our services on television. It's going to be a step forward. Yes. Are you with me?
Yes.
So I thank everyone who's given. I want you to know when I share with you, I'm not pressuring you. I'm trusting God.
Yeah.
Trusting God.
Yes.
We were supposed to pay our second $25,000. We had to pay $25,000, $25,000, $25,000, a total of $75,000, which is 6 months of the 6 months of our mortgage. We're actually paying it in advance as a sign of good faith. But when we move in our building for the first 6 months, we won't have to pay any mortgage. So while we're doing all the build out, we're not going to be stuck with paying a mortgage and still paying in the hotel. So we have 6 months, we don't have a payment. And I believe we'll be in there by March, so we'll have at least